Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Thank you for listening to AFR. You can watch the show if you want to listen or watch the show live at Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues. And, Walker, you posting the stories that we're talking about?
That's right. Posting the news stories to our Today's Issues Facebook page. We're also live streaming on YouTube. And lastly, you can download the podcast, maybe if you miss part of the show, at AFR.net. You can download the podcast.
Tim Wildman here with Ed Vitagliano, Walker Wildman, and Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tim.
Before we get to the what you got to bring to the table here, Steve, Walker, you got a major announcement?
I do. I have a major announcement. It's good news, and that is that my wife and I are expecting a child, but not just one child, but two. So we're going to have twins in April, maybe a little bit before April. So we're very excited. Three children in under 2 years, I think that might be a record unless you've had triplets or more.
Excited is one way to put it.
Because Luke is one now.
That's right.
We need to bring Luke back in here sometime soon, because when we showed him on video a year ago or so, our ratings spiked.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Huh?
I did. And then we bring the twins in.
I think we're going to set a new record for viewers on Facebook.
Right. Yeah. Might burn down the internet.
Are there twins in your family? Does that bring in your
I think there are twins far a little ways back, a couple generations back on my dad's side.
Okay.
And then there are twins on my wife's side too. So yeah, there are twins in the family.
So Walker Wildman and Lexi is expecting twins in April.
Yeah, the funny story behind it, I'll be brief here, is we're getting the ultrasound when we go in. We think we're pregnant, so we go get an ultrasound, and the nurse says, "Well, now's when I tell you how many kids you're going to have." And she says, "And I'm seeing two here." So that's how we found out.
How does that feel? Is that surreal?
I thought you were talking about carrying twins. I was going to say, what are you asking him?
No. I meant we didn't have twins. We had three children, but we didn't have twins.
I was shocked.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, because you go in there and you're pretty sure your wife's pregnant.
Yeah.
But then you get in there and she's like, "Well, there's not just one in here. There's two." So I was even surprised.
You're kidding me? Quit joking.
No, I didn't say that. I was pretty pumped. I was high-fiving my wife.
Well, you should high-ten her.
Well, I didn't mean it to sound like it was anything negative. I'm just saying, you said shocked, so you're going like you're kidding me.
Oh, I would have said that. I would have said, "Are you kidding?" You know this? Because it's the kind
not every
of humor.
Day.
It's the kind of humor that you might expect to hear
when
you go and by the way, you've got
two.
How would you feel if I said two?
Yeah. Well, double your diaper budget.
Uh-huh. We're taking donations.
I know we've already decided what the family's going to give them for Christmas. Everybody's getting diapers.
And wipes.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Anyway. Well, congratulations to you and to me.
Thank you.
I'm going to be Poppy again for the seventh time in 5 years. And I thought I was going to get a break between Walker graduating from college and
little did you know,
all the grandparenting duties. I thought I was going to get a few years there. You know what I'm saying? But
seven, God's perfect number.
So what moves faster, the events in Washington or your family?
Well, my grandchildren.
Yeah. More breaking news. Huh?
I don't know. All right. The other day I was praying for them all, as I do, and you know I got to number four. I was going, "Lord, I can't remember that one. Please just bless number four."
Okay.
It's like The Sound of Music.
Yeah. Now seven. Wow. Okay. That's a lot of birthday parties in 1 year right there.
Yes, it is.
Saying, go broke buying birthday gifts. All right. What do you got, Steve?
Just first quick question I wanted to ask you.
Yes, go ahead.
Did you watch the FedEx Cup over the weekend?
I did pay attention to that. Tiger Woods won for the first time since 2013.
I think it was. Yeah.
It wasn't a major. It was in essence a major because it was the championship.
It wasn't one
year.
Of the four majors.
It was a big comeback win for the career of Tiger Woods. I would say this about Tiger Woods, and you know he's lived a life of debauchery, basically, that cost him his wife and years of his career, some would argue, although that's hard to prove, you know, because he was winning a lot of tournaments when he was living immorally. Right. Okay, so, but it did cause him a crisis in his life, and he admits to that, does Tiger Woods. And what I've noticed about him is the last couple of years, for those who don't follow golf, maybe you haven't been paying attention to this, and this is only my observation, but I've had others who follow golf say this as well. Tiger Woods is a much more humble person than he ever was before all this happened to him.
Mm-hmm. Age will do that to you a little bit.
Age will do. You're right, Steve. You're right. Age will do that to you. Having your life come crashing down, yeah, at such that it was. I mean, he was on top of the world as
right,
and then everything did with the, when it was discovered he was a sex addict, and all that stuff came crashing down on his life, you know. But I've noticed in his interviews the last year or two, even when he's interviewed, he's not as arrogant as he used to be, and I think that's good. I don't know what, right, what his spiritual life is like. I don't know what's going on there, but it's just
see a good comeback.
We all like to see excellence, mm-hmm, and Tiger Woods and golf defined excellence, but nobody likes an arrogant, profane. He would curse openly on the golf course within mic distance. Yeah. And I'm talking about hard profanity during golf tournaments, you know, and you're going like, dude, yeah, can you not, you know what I'm saying?
So all the kids and families, yeah, and everything, yeah, is watching out there on the,
yeah, so I think he's been humbled.
Yeah.
That's right. What I'm sensing from watching Tiger Woods. He can't, I mean, Tiger Woods would never have teared up.
Right.
After any event that he won, he would just assume that I'm the king and I'm the best and everybody, yeah, knows it. Mm-hmm. And aren't I great? Well, yesterday, and I haven't watched a complete interview, but yesterday he got emotional.
He did.
He teared up some. And so anyway.
All right.
I'll just say on another note,
mm-hmm, yeah,
this golf tournament, I was all over that this weekend.
Good for you. Yeah.
Man, I was all over it.
Yeah. Really?
I had no preseason hockey, no football. I just watched golf.
I think he's lying.
Ed just perjured himself.
Look at his face.
I just perjured myself.
Walker's right.
I'm calling for an FBI investigation into that. We can get your Comcast records.
He's already in Mueller's sights. I mean, he's, you know, you got.
Maybe they can flip me.
Yeah.
Find out what I know about Trump.
There you go.
That's a new show for HGTV. Flipping Ed. Flipping Ed. All right, Steve. What wonderful things are happening in this world of ours?
Well, just to let you know, I think the traffic is really backed up in Washington, D.C., because Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein has been en route to the White House for an hour now, and I don't think
from a 5 or 10 minute drive.
Exactly.
And, so, and we've determined that it's Rosenstein.
Rosenstein. Right, did I say Stein. Rosenstein?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard not to.
Rosenstein has. So anyway, nothing really new other than what you guys have already talked about.
Maybe he's taking one of those, what do you call those things you ride down the street in? Two wheels.
And a unicycle or a bicycle?
No, they stand up.
Oh, yeah. It's Segway. Yeah,
oh, basically. One of those Segways.
Well, I will say this.
That'll be faster than traffic.
He may be doing what I did whenever my mom would say, your father wants to see you. And I knew I was in trouble.
Well, I'm cleaning my room.
I'd make circuitous a route as I could find.
There you go.
I got to do my algebra homework. I'll be down.
What are you doing?
Clean my room.
Maybe he'll forget.
What are you doing in Pennsylvania, Rod? Well, I was coming to the White House, and we got a detour. I don't know. I'm not driving.
Did you have brothers and sisters that would grab stuff off your dad's desk so he wouldn't remember to punish you, like President Trump has apparently?
Oh, no, no.
No, okay.
No, nothing like that. My sisters wanted me to be punished.
They were putting stuff on your dad's desk. So can we go back to the Brett Kavanaugh thing for just a minute?
Yes.
There was some amazing sound over the weekend. Mazie Hirono, the senator from Hawaii, has been very vocal in her support of the Kavanaugh accuser and now accusers. And she was asked by host Chris Cuomo on CNN's State of the Union over the weekend if she, Kavanaugh didn't also deserve due process. You're going to hear that question. You're going to hear her answer. Listen closely, because what you're going to hear her say is that if you are pro-life, if you are a conservative, particular in the justice, in the realm of justice, you do not deserve due process. Listen to this.
Doesn't Kavanaugh have the same presumption of innocence as anyone else in America?
I put his denial in the context of everything that I know about him in terms of how he approaches his cases. As I said, his credibility is already very questionable in my mind and in the minds of a lot of my fellow Judiciary Committee members, the Democrats. When I say that he's very outcome-driven, he has an ideological agenda. It's very outcome-driven, and I can sit here and talk to you about some of the cases that exemplifies his, in my view, inability to be fair. He very much is against women's reproductive choice.
If you are pro-life and you rule in a conservative way, you do not deserve to be believed or to have due process.
Boy,
that's dangerous.
She never answered the question, did you, or did she?
Well, she did. The answer was he doesn't deserve due process because he's pro-life.
But
he's conservative.
What that reveals, though, is what we've all been saying, but the Democrats always like to get around the main points. But this is all about how Brett Kavanaugh will rule if he becomes a justice on the Supreme Court.
They care less about the honor
of abortion.
Yes.
They really don't care about the honor and dignity of the accusers or about the Me Too movement.
You know, this is satanic. Mm-hmm. And some people may say, what in the world are you talking about? Well, first of all, let me just say this. We're a Christian radio network. So we believe in the Bible, and so we believe in that things are spiritual.
Yes. Right.
Okay. Not everything.
Don't wrestle against flesh and blood.
Right. What I'm going to have for lunch today, that's not a spiritual experience.
Right.
Unless I ate some bad food, I guess. but there's not a devil under every rock, so to speak. But you have to look at things sometimes in a spiritual context, and people who don't believe in the Bible, who don't believe in Christianity, they can't appreciate what we're talking about here today. Okay?
They're blind to it.
They're blind to it, and I understand that. The Bible talks about that as well. But what I mean by satanic is this. The Bible says that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The devil is a real entity. That's what you want to call it. Spiritual being.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That Jesus believed in. This isn't boogeyman stuff. This is a Bigfoot stuff. This is real.
Right.
And so Satan is against God, right?
Yes.
Satan is against God. God is for life, right?
Yes.
God is the creator of life. You mentioned, Walker, about y'all are going to have twins in April. God created that life inside your wife, Lexi.
Yes.
Okay. As he does all human life. He creates all human life and all life. God is the author of life. Satan wants to kill the babies in the womb or after they're born because that's what he does. It's kill, steal, and destroy.
Right.
So, now I'm not saying this senator from Hawaii even knows what she's talking about. I'm sure she wouldn't even know what I'm talking about today.
Right.
She's not a believer. So, but that viewpoint she represented right there, that is defending at all costs the slaughter of innocent human life in the womb, under whatever euphemism you want to use, pro-choice, like it's vanilla and strawberry ice cream. No, we're talking about destroying an innocent human life. And these people are proud of that. That's evil.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is satanic. And there's not even any pause with these people anymore. Bill Clinton and others used to say wanted abortion should be They struggle.
Safe, legal, and rare.
Right.
Safe, legal, and rare. At least there was some discussion of it being a moral issue with these folks. You know what I'm saying? Nowadays, it's not. It is a form of satanic worship to sacrifice babies.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes.
It isn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's what these secular progressive, quote, pro-choice people are for. So that someone like Judge Kavanaugh, who might rule against in some shape or form abortion on demand and interfere with their devil sacrifices, is a spiritual war, is spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly right. And we have said on this show numerous times that the culture war that we're seeing, this is not just about old folks disagreeing with those sexual radicals from the 60s. Mm. This is a war against God.
Yeah.
When you talk about the transgender movement, we are going to deny the fact that God has created male, the human race, male and female. I mean, all these kinds of issues stem from that basic conflict. And listen, you've said this too. I'll just sum this up, you know, as quickly as possible. There used to be a Democratic Party that honored the model of marriage that God created, that honored all sorts of the reality that God had established. That Democratic Party does not exist anymore. Mm-hmm. It has been taken over by radical secularists and by and large atheists who hate God and hate the reality that God has created. And every day they spend their time working against it.
Yeah. And those Democrats who used to be part of that old Democrat Party are still around, but they have been co-opted and they've given up the high ground. And I'm talking about Joe Biden. Joe Biden was a pro-life Democrat in the day.
And the way Dad explained it, the way Ed just explained it, goes to the point that this is why we talk about how important it is who holds elected office.
Right.
Right.
Because if you think government can't commit evil acts, you're wrong. Look throughout human history. Government can do evil, and of course they can do good. And so that's why
they're coming after us.
Yeah.
These secular progressives, they're coming after us. And
they would love to use government.
I guarantee you, had Hillary Clinton won, they would be using the executive branch to shut down our radio network by denying us licenses, by fining us, by finding just like you see. And I'm not talking about we would be the only ones.
Right.
I'm talking about certainly the Christian movement that is involved, engaged in any way in politics, but also the conservative movement, generally speaking. We see what happened with Diamond and Silk.
Right.
Is that right, Diamond?
Yeah.
With Facebook. We see what happened with James Woods with Twitter. Those kinds of things, if the Democrats get the White House again and or they get the Congress again, these things are going to intensify because they are looking to drive us out of the public square all together so that we're not even heard.
Yes.
And you do, and furthermore, you're punished
for
having views that disagree with the secular progressive.
Hence, it's Jack Phillips,
Alan Dershowitz,
Stutzman.
Yes, Alan Dershowitz has talked about this. Mm-hmm. The law professor from Harvard, he's a traditional liberal. He doesn't believe in shutting conservatives down or punishing Christians for their ideas or beliefs. Right. He believes everybody should be heard. And that's the traditional liberal way. He's a Democrat. He voted I'm sure he voted for Hillary Clinton. I guess he.
Well, and you'd also hear just one other thing, just so that our listeners understand, you better be registered to vote and you better go out and vote because these are spiritual issues at their core. Let's just mention the fact that Israel also would not be treated the way it has been treated by President Trump had Hillary Clinton and the rest of these secularists, if they get into office, because this spiritual war is directed not only at Christians, it is directed against Israel as well.
To Walker and Ed's point and your point, Tim, Mike Pence was speaking at the Values Voter Summit over the weekend. And Walker, you were there. You probably heard this speech. But he is warning Christian conservatives against being complacent in these midterms. There is a survey out of the Pew Research Center and the USA Today that shows that energized voting, enthusiasm about voting is up in all sectors. So white evangelical Protestants, 47% of them say they are more enthusiastic about voting than before during these midterms. Mainline Protestant, the same amount. Catholic vote, 53%. But note this, among all voters, meaning liberals, Democrats, because we know they're energized as well, 51%, more than half of America is more energized to come out and vote. So who comes out during these midterms, which are generally a low turnout event because the president's not on the ballot,
right.
Mm-hmm. Who turns out is going to have a huge impact. And as Mike Pence says, and also Rex, Ralph Reed was talking at the same event, he said, I'm worried about intensity among liberal and Democrat voters. The other side is coming, and they're coming in record numbers.
Yeah, and you know, to that, to continue that discussion, I think before this whole Brett Kavanaugh and them trying, the Democrats trying to block him and stuff, I think you could say that yeah, Republicans aren't really very energized. You know, we seem to get kind of complacent after we win an election. But I think this Kavanaugh thing is really going to backfire on the Democrats because if he's delayed, well, he's already delayed getting on the bench, but I think it's going to energize the Republican base that we see what the Democrats will do should they get in charge, and that is completely block anything and everything that President Trump wants to get done.
For every Mazie Hirono, for every Dianne Feinstein and Cory Booker, there are, I would say, thousands of regular Democrat, resistance, liberal, progressive, socialists, whatever, that are willing to do whatever, yeah. Go as low as they can. It legality, morality, ethical stuff makes no difference to them. Mm-hmm. The agenda is stopping Kavanaugh, Trump, and the Republicans. Mm-hmm. So the only way that you counter that is to come out and vote.
What are they, Ed, what are they, you know, what are they so, what are the Democrats so freaked out about? I mean, if say Judge Kavanaugh gets on the bench, he's one justice there, and let's just say that Roe versus Wade was overturned.
Well, go ahead, Steve. Did you want
to? I know yeah. what it is, and the reason is because all of the policy objectives that President Obama had in mind and the progressives have in mind, they can't get through the Congress. They can't get by vote of the people. The people don't want it. The way they get their agenda accomplished is through the courts.
Yes.
If they can have the courts rule that, for example, national health care is the law of the land and abortion should be covered, you would never get a Congress, a Republican Congress as it stands now, nor any state of yeah. people that are split 50-50 to agree that they want to pay for abortions, so they get the courts to do it for them. So this is their last line of defense.
Yes.
This is their. That's why they're battling so hard.
Yeah, I would say this is all about winning the table, running the table. Mm-hmm. And they thought they had it.
Yeah.
They had 8 years of Barack Obama. Look at all that he did in his 8 years. They thought they were going to follow up the first black president with the first
woman
president. Mm. And they would own the Supreme Court, they would own the Senate and the House, they would change this country into a secular utopia,
yep.
And they are so angry about Donald Trump, and now it looks like he's going to turn the tables on them with the Supreme Court, and they are furious.
Yeah.
Or as I've described it, their hair is on fire.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Steve Jordahl.
A pleasure.
Where can we read more about from the...
You can read more at onenewsnow.com. And Walker, of course, will post everything we've been talking about up on our Today's Issues website.
Check out OneNews...
Facebook page. Sorry.
OneNewsNow.com. That's our news
yes,
website.
OneNewsNow.com. Folks.
Thank you, Steve. Ed, Walker.
Yes,
thanks
sir.
To Brent for doing the show, for producing the show today. Thank you, folks, for listening to AFR. Stay with us throughout the day.